This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Reaping the Benefits, was delivered on April 26th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Good morning, family. Thank you, Richard and Doc, for just that awesome worship. I mean, we were standing in the back off camera with our hands raised and we were singing at the top of our lungs because you guys cannot hear me when I'm doing that. I had my mic off, so that's why I was singing so loud. But, wow, you know, we're in, like, what, the fourth week of our lockdown, and we got, like, five more weeks left. Four or five more weeks left, and looks like we're going to be doing Mother's Day apart, so I guess we cannot do our omelet station this year. What a bummer. Maybe when we get back to physically meeting, we can still do something to honor our mothers, because that's going to be in our season of lockdown. Maybe we can do it on Father's Day, do a Father's and Mother's Day thing together, and we can celebrate them that way. But, man, I don't know about you, but it's been tough on me because I'm a people person. I love having contact with people. I love hanging out with you. And for me, being isolated, it's been tough because I really would like to see all of you. And to be honest, I still hug some of the guys when I see them when I come into my office, which is not good, but man. I just need that. This morning, we're going to talk about reaping the benefits. I mean, if you know, we're in a season that I don't know if it ever happened, never happened in my lifetime, where we are ordered to social distance, to not go out, only for essentials. And if you want to receive anything good out of this pandemic, we need to put in that effort now. You know, because we can come out of this maybe May 31st and go back to work, maybe hopefully June 1st and doing church. And then when we go back, it's like, we're going to say, oh, I wish I worked on my house when I had the time when I wasn't working. Or I wish I did this. I wish I read the Bible more when I had the chance. You know, if we want something good to come out of this pandemic, you know, if you want to come out of this pandemic with a better relationship with your wife, your spouse, or your children, you know, right now the children, they cannot go to school. So they might be at home driving you crazy, right? Man, I wish my children were home driving me crazy, but they're all grown up, they're married, and they're out of the house. So I don't have them at home, and I wish they were home. I wish they were home driving me crazy. But, you know, you come out of this, and then you can, right now, you can actually spend the time with him, bake some cookies, do some projects, spend time together, so that when we come out of this pandemic, your relationship would be that much tighter, that much stronger, versus you guys getting on each other's nerves. So when you come out of this pandemic, you'll be farther apart. You can plant or sow the right seeds now, so that when we get out of this, man, your relationship would be tight. You could spend time with God in the Word. You could pick up your Bible and read. Or you could just watch TV. And then when you get out of this, you're not going to say like, oh, I watched 50 really, really good movies, man. Really, I mean, really good movies. And what did I get out of it, though? Or you could read the Bible. And when you get out of this, you'd be able to answer all of those trivia questions like that. Right? I mean, there's so much things we can do. I mean, you can leave your TV on as long as it's on Right Now Media. Right? Because you can watch valuable Bible studies. And this season of isolation can be a season of tremendous growth. This season of knowledge getting poured into you. So when we get out of this season, you have all this knowledge to apply. So, I mean, whatever happens in this season, it depends on what you do, that when we get out, you would reap the right benefits. And one of the examples I can think, you know, when I was 15 and a half years old, I started to work. I got a job. I needed a work permit. That was my first job. I was pumping gas at a gas station, and my hourly pay was $2.90. Whew, that was a big bucks, you know. And I remember filling up a moped one time, and it was like 50 cents. It's like, wow. And cars and trucks would pull in, and they would give me 20 bucks and say, fill them up. And there wasn't any car that went over $20 to fill it up, big or small. And it was like, wow. And that was my first job, and it was a good job. I worked hard. My boss never let us stand around. We had to wipe down the pumps, sweep the grounds, clean the shop, clean the office, clean the bathrooms, bag ice if there was no cars. And, you know, after 2 weeks, I'd get a paycheck. And for somebody in high school, you know, if I got a paycheck that was $300, like, wow, big bucks. You know, I couldn't drive, so I couldn't go shopping. We had no eBay, no Amazon, no stuff like that. So if I went shopping, it was either on a bicycle or on a bus. So I actually saved a lot of money. And it was good. I put in the work, and I reaped the benefits, the paycheck. And I also, not only just a paycheck, but I learned responsibility and stuff like that. And, you know, you look at that. Nowadays, there's people who are scamming others. They're trying to not do the work, but get the benefit. They're trying to scam people out of their hard-earned money, and they're stealing from others. They want the benefits of working, the money, the paycheck, without doing the work. And sometimes nowadays you get people who go to work, and you know they do like a half donkey job. If you read the King James, you know what I mean by donkey, and they want the full pay. You know, my parents raised me in such a way as to give more than expected, and I tried to do that. A lot of my jobs from the 90s on were salary jobs, and I worked sometimes up to 70 hours a week for the same pay. And it was okay because I just wanted to make sure I did my job well. And my benefits, my pay was always the same, but there was a satisfaction of doing my job. You know, as people, we all want to reap good benefits, but sometimes we don't want to do the work of sowing the right seeds. And here's an example that I'm personally dealing with right now. I have aches. I have pains. I take medication for cholesterol, for sugar levels in my blood, and I would love to get off these medications. I want the benefits of being healthy, but I am not sowing the right seeds to reap a healthy lifestyle, the health. You know, I eat cookies, yes, because all of you bake me cookies, so I blame you. And we all know blame is to be lame. I'm lame. I drink diet soda, an occasional energy drink now and then. I eat Spam. Oh, boy, do I love Spam. I don't eat enough salads and fruits. And the big thing is not enough exercise. Now, I really want to be healthy, not so that I can live longer, but to be able to care for you better. And the healthier I am, the better I can care for, the better I can do my assignment that God has given me. Now, that's the physical side, and that's what I'm dealing with now. I want to reap the benefits of health, but I'm not sowing the proper seeds, so I need to do that. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Galatians. Galatians is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I hope I got that right. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Hey. Galatians 6, starting verse 6. The one who is taught the word of God is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. I like, this is the key part of one. I wanted to get to verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, for me, it would be a real big surprise if I planted this bad eating habits, lack of exercise, and I went to the doctor and he said, wow, Scott, your cholesterol is down. Your sugar level is down. And you're doing fantastic. What did you do? You know, it would be a surprise if my health turned around without me doing anything. That's not going to happen. It's the law of sowing and reaping is a natural. It's like gravity. It's a natural law. I don't care how much you dispute it or argue it. It's going to happen. Yeah, it's a natural law. And it is true in the areas of our life. You know, reading, studying, applying the Bible. If you did all that, what do you think you would reap if you read, you studied, you applied the Word of God? What do you think you're going to reap? Every action has a result. If you plant to please your own desires, you guarantee you'll reap a harvest or a crop of sorrow and evil. If you plant to please God, man, joy, everlasting life. Question, what kind of seeds are you planting? How many of you out there in Facebook land, and how many of you want the benefits of being a Christian? And I'm going to list several things, and then I'm going to go over them. How many of you want the benefits of being a Christian, the abundant life, the eternal life, the unending joy? You ever been around that kind of people who are just always joyful no matter what? You love to be around that kind of people. Peace. You know, when this pandemic came, how many of you was peace? You're not worried. You're not frantic like the world. How many of you was like the world who went out and bought 50,000 rolls of toilet paper? And how many of you got one whole room now full with toilet paper, rice, and Spam? Right? But how many of you was at peace? Like, I don't need worry. I don't need worry about toilet paper. I don't need worry about Spam and all those other things because God is my provider. And when things settle down, now you can go in the store and you can buy one roll of toilet paper. The shelf, it's there. What you cannot buy is hand sanitizer and, you know, Clorox wipes, because that's still missing. But how many of you has had that kind of peace? If you had that kind of peace, I applaud you, because that peace came from God, knowing that he was going to take care of you. How many of you want the blessings that come from serving God? I mean, we all want God's blessings. And if you don't, oh gosh, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless about that. And how many of you want knowledge? You know, knowledge of what is God's will for me? What is his plan? What does he want? Because I guarantee if you plant the right stuff now in this time of isolation, come June 1st when we get out of here, and beyond. You'll be reaping this abundant life, eternal life, unending joy, peace, blessings, knowledge. It will be there. And you will come out and say, oh, I'm glad I planted those last month. Because some of them, it may take a little bit longer to grow. But again, if you start planting, because you got to start planting. You got to start somewhere, sometime to plant. What a greater time than now when we are isolated. What are you planting to reap these benefits? Or maybe you're expecting to reap these benefits without doing anything, without sowing the proper seeds. Maybe you have an issue with entitlement. Ooh, that hurts, yeah? Maybe you hanging around someone who are doing all these things so that when their harvest comes, man, it would overflow on top of you. You wish, because it may happen, it may not happen. It's no guarantee. Because I know when my wife went to church and I didn't, she reaped the benefits. And yeah, of course, because I married her, some of it overflowed on me. But that was not the way to do it. You know, maybe because I was her husband, I felt entitled to all of her benefits of being a Christian. But it was until I decided to come to Christ and do these things that together we reap the benefits. So here we go. We're going to look at each one. Abundant life, eternal life. John 5:39. John is one of the Gospels in the New Testament. This is what Jesus says. You search the Scriptures. He was talking to the Pharisees. You think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. You know, me. You notice me, capital me. He's talking about Jesus. Because this is Jesus talking. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Now, these religious leaders, they knew the Scriptures. They knew them well. But they failed to apply its word in their lives. So it was only here. God's word was only here. And like we say, they missed it by 18 inches because they didn't put it from here down into here. They knew the teaching of the Scriptures, but they failed to see Jesus, the Messiah, who the Scriptures pointed to. They knew the rules, but they missed the Savior. They were caught up in their own religious system, and they refused to let Jesus change their lives. You know, are you willing to let Jesus in so that he can change your life and give you this abundant life, give you this eternal life? And that's it. We're going to, at the end of service, we're going to ask if you want to receive Jesus, and we're going to give you that opportunity. So stick around. So what about joy? Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, when we are reminded of what we have been given by God, you know, the blessings, the eternal life, the new life, a new purpose. Man, that would make you joyful. And if you think of what God gave you and you're not joyful, I really don't know what would make you joyful. Maybe sometimes we lose focus. Maybe we lose focus on how much we have been given. And we look at what we don't have, and our joy is stolen. You know, I get that would happen once in a while, but we need to get back quickly. We need to focus on what God has given us and how much he gives us and our blessings so that, man, our joy would always be there. Psalms 126. Those who plant in tears will harvest shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Sometimes, You know, I mean, you notice God. Okay, this is how God works. God has the ability to restore life beyond our understanding. Really, I mean, if you look at my life, I was a wreck. I was heading in the wrong direction. I was doing all the wrong things. And God got a hold of my heart. He turned this dead man, because spiritually I was dead. He turned this dead man into life. And he can do that. He has the ability to restore lives. He restore relationships. You know, it's like when you know, every summer there's like wildfires. They all burn down. But after that, life comes back. You know, our tears can be seeds that will grow into a harvest of joy, because God is able to bring good out of tragedy. Right now, while we're isolated, while we gotta do church via Facebook, we can be so down and out and be bummed out that we cannot do church. But if we sow the proper seeds in this season, out of this pandemic, God can bring life. You can come out of this June 1st and have a much deeper relationship with Jesus Christ because of what you can do right now. When we are burdened by sorrow, know that the times of grief will end. And once again, we will find joy. You know, I am so joyful that I still get to send out God's message. And sometimes when I look at how many views we get on Facebook, it's like, wow, that is more than we have in church. It's like, holy smoke, God is doing something. I mean, see, people say like, oh, Facebook is evil. But the devil may use Facebook for his work, but God can use it for his work. So whether you think Facebook is evil or not, you know, God can use this and he can bring something out, good out of it. Now, here's the thing, your joy. If your joy is dependent on your relationship with God, okay, up and down, then you cannot go wrong. But if our joy is based on things here on earth, oh, man, you'd be, if your joy was based on the stock market, you'd be down in the dumps right now. If your joy was based on the price of oil, sorry. If my joy is based upon my relationship to God, truly connected to him, then it will be constant because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's constant. John 16:22 says, therefore, this is Jesus speaking, therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. How would you like that? That no one can take your joy away from you. It's like, I'm driving down the road. There is no traffic. You know, right now, there is no traffic. It is so good. I can get from point A to point B with no traffic. But the moment you get stuck in traffic, oh, if your joy was based on circumstances, then you'd be jammed up. If, you know, like when I go fishing, if my joy was based upon how many fish I catch, which would be good because I catch plenty of fish. Nah, not really. Not as much as James and Scott and Kekai and all those other guys. But if my joy was based on that, I'd be in trouble. But I can go fishing and catch nothing and still be joyful. If your joy is not dependent on Jesus Christ, make that change. Make it a priority to develop that relationship with him so that your joy will be consistent, will be complete. And no matter what happens around you, COVID-19, stock market, oil prices, traffic, you catch the fish, you don't catch the fish, you still have joy. And that's how we can plant these seeds right now planting and putting in God's word into our heart so that our joy would be complete. Peace. How many of you want peace? The kind that peace that will not be shaken. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus wants to give you his peace. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be fearful. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit. In our lives, deep and lasting peace. Unlike the worldly peace, which is usually defined by the absence of conflict. This peace is confident assurance that in any circumstances, with Christ's peace, we have no need to fear the present or the future. You know, sin, fear, uncertain, doubt. There's so much things working against us, working at war within us. The peace of God moves into our hearts and lives and restrains these hostile forces. It offers us comfort in place of conflict. Jesus said he would give us that peace if we are willing to accept it from him. You know, if your life is full of stress, maybe you need to plant some different seeds and understand that if you take in Christ, you take on his yoke, you take on his Holy Spirit, you would be filled with the peace of God. Philippians 4:6-7. And this is one of those life verses that you're going to have to keep in your heart forever. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everything. How much is everything? Okay, but because it doesn't say, but in some things, but in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Make your requests be known to God. You know, God, I want this COVID-19 to stop. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, if we give it to God, and we know that now it's in his hand. You know, okay, God, the ball is in your court. And you understand and you fully know that God is the one who is in control. And there's nothing you can do about it. Then we'll be at peace, knowing that, hey, it's in the best hands possibly because it's in God's hands. It's out of my hands. 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. What things? What things? Well, according to the context of this verse, people were looking for the return of Christ and the earth and all these things will be burned up. It's a terrible day for those who don't believe in Christ. How should we be found on that day when Christ returns? How do you want to be found? You know, doing this isolation, staying at home, working from home, man, I tell you, we can become lazy. We can be sitting on the couch and watching TV. And the spooky thing is, I see so much pictures on social media that when we come out of these isolations, we're all big and round because we don't know how to social distance from the refrigerator. You know, we can become so lazy in this time. You know, we can sleep in because nobody's holding a gun to your head to do your job. You don't have to be in the office at 8 and stay till 5. You know, you can, if I work from home, then yeah, I would get up early and start working at 5, and by 12 I can do other stuff. But you can find yourself getting lazy. Don't let this lockdown make us lazy. Peter said we need to be diligent, be at peace, spotless and blameless. Because if you think about it, man, maybe Christ's return is soon. Right? Because now it's going through social media. It can't reach to the ends of this earth. And when the last person had heard, Jesus will return. How would you want to be found? All worried and caught up in the worldly things? Or you want to be at peace? Okay, we're going to go on to blessing now. James 1 tells, blessed is the man who perseveres on the trial. How many of you are persevering now in this lockdown? Or even not more than persevering, but maybe even thriving, doing good. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Luke 11:28. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. I mean, there is no doubt that you and I, we all want God's blessings. Who doesn't? But what are you practicing? What are we practicing to receive these blessings? Are we practicing lawlessness to receive blessings? Because that doesn't work. You practice lawlessness and what you get? Jail time. More isolation. Right? But what are you practicing? Are you digging deeper into God's word? Are you sowing and anticipating God's blessings? Romans 4:7. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Man, are you like confessing your sin, asking for forgiveness so that you can be blessed? Man, because I know we all want God's blessing. And we all ask, oh Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. But what are you planting to receive the blessings? Like the trivia question said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Are you giving? It's more blessed to give than to receive. That was one of our trivia questions. Who said that? Jesus. Okay, and then the last one, knowledge. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, God can give you wisdom. He probably could snap his finger and make you smart. But he can also give you the opportunity to become wise. He can give you time, like right now, to dig into his word so that you will become smart. He can give you wisdom in two ways. He can allow you to experience things so that you learn. Or he can allow you time to read about it and learn. I think it's your choice. Right? Two teachers in life. Wisdom or consequences, right? Who you want your teacher to be. 1 Kings 3:9, King Solomon, he was made king, and God pretty much said, ask me what you want. And this is what Solomon asked for. Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon was given like a blank check. And instead of asking for riches, he asked for wisdom and understanding so that he could do his assignment better. And God gave him opportunities to practice this wisdom. So he became even wiser. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Paul said, because of the resurrection, nothing that you and I do for the kingdom is useless. And sometimes we become lazy about serving God because, you know, we don't see results. But knowing that Christ has won the ultimate victory should affect the way we live now. You and I, we cannot let discouragement over lack of apparent results. Like, now we got locked down to May 31st, and we cannot let this discouragement get us down. I think that could be a blessing in disguise. God is giving you one more month to draw closer to Him. Because when this is over, how many of you know when you go back to work, you're going to have tons of work to do. Maybe one stack, your desk is being covered. Because even though we cannot go to work, the work is still there piling up. You know, just because there's like an apparent lack of results, you know, like God is not taking this COVID-19 away, you know, we cannot let that discourage us. We got to do the work of the Lord with joy as we have an opportunity. You know, for my family and my friends out there, my church family, people who used to come to our church, but maybe they're now living in the mainland, and now that you can hook up to this, this is what I want us to do. Let us start sowing the right seeds so that come June 1st, there'll be something good to harvest. Take the time to sit with God in prayer. Take the time to sit before His feet. Let the Word of God wash you. The best way to have this life-changing transformation is to let the Word get into you so much that it comes out in the form of action. That this time you would gain so much knowledge, and that the knowledge would drop down to your heart. And come June 1st, you have all this energy, all this thing that can come out of your hand. And you can do so much for God's kingdom. Amen. And I want to give you that chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And if you've never done this before, the Bible says that He knocks. Yeah, He knocks on the door of your heart. Because He loves you, He will always give you a choice. He's not going to force His way into your life like the devil. He always needs an invitation to come into your life. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. It goes like this, and pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to You. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person You want me to be. I receive You, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you, anywhere out there, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you know, just type in on the response, "I did." And if you want, we have this Yes booklet that we can mail out to you if you give me your address. Whether you can email me your address in newhopeeasthawaii@hotmail.com, all spelled out lowercase, or you can text me your mailing address at 808-936-6651, or if you want to make it public, you can type it in on the Facebook live feed so we can get to that. But if you did pray that prayer, just type "I did." And I just like to welcome you in the kingdom of God, because now you'll reap the benefits of our first couple points, the eternal life. And God promised to give you abundant life. Amen. Lord, thank You for this day. And I pray that while we are in this situation, we would plant these things. We would sow the right seeds so that hopefully June 1st, when we get out and we can meet, we'll be different. We'll be changed. We'll be transformed. We'll begin to harvest good things, joy, peace, knowledge. Lord, that we would be different. Thank You for Your word this morning. I pray that it'll sink in. We love You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so next week, come 8:45, log in. We're going to do some trivia. Next week, we're going to be talking about the cure to anxiety. Whew. How many of you are anxious or have anxiety? And you're like, I get anxiety every week. I cannot wait to Sunday so I can see you or you can see me. But from me to you, I love you all. Please be safe. Get into God's word. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week, great afternoon.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii typically meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. During the quarantine, we are meeting online with Facebook Live. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.